I'm Mike Montsev, your host today for the Secured Podcast, brought to you by ASAP Security Services. And today, I'm super excited because I've got Idan Koren with Chief Marketing Officer for Verkada.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Super grateful that you made the time to stop by and see us. I wanted to start with just like a little bit of a introduction about you. So I had to take some notes, and so I'm sure you'll be able to add more to us. But you are a seasoned marketing and operational leader serving as the Chief Marketing Officer at Verkada since about May of 2018, where you've played a very pivotal role in accelerating the company's rise as a cloud-native physical security innovator. Earlier, you held strategic roles as Director of Marketing and then Vice President of Marketing at Verkada, really steering the go-to-market execution through a hyper-growth period. And prior to Verkada, you had co-founded some successful startups, including WedPix, which was acquired by Mixbook, CourseRank, which was acquired by Chegg, and kind of demonstrating your strong entrepreneurial insights across both consumer and educational tech sectors. And I hear you're still an active angel investor, backing some early stage companies.
Sure.
You know, as an analytical thinker, you have a dual focus on strategy and execution. You hold a bachelor's degree from biochemistry and markets and management from Duke.
Yep.
And your background spans operation, marketing, leadership, ecosystem building, and that really equipped you to really guide Verkada's expansion across the product marketing, global channels, demand.
You make me look better than I actually am, but yeah, that's right.
I don't think so. I think that's why it's really important. I think that's why you've been able to do all the things that you've done. I mean, obviously, you're a very driven individual who
for sure
aims for perfection, and that's exciting to see. Right?
Speed and perfection. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I think of myself as an operational person. I think Verkada needed a marketer that could drive the hyper growth phase and move fast. And it's not just the brand portion, but also the demand portion. And I was kind of shoved in that seat. I didn't really get to choose.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun
figuring
that out.
It's kind of like, where do you need me?
Exactly. That was the mindset. Because at the time I was doing a bunch of other stuff.
Right.
From like surprisingly HR, which was crazy to think, to like SOPs, to re-architecting Salesforce to an account-based Salesforce with my team. Marketing was the thing that needed me the most.
So obviously this has been a roller coaster ride since 2018. Like, do you find yourself like looking back, thinking about all of those early days, and whenever you step onto one of your team's execution of like a Verkada One, where you have all of these customers and use stories and partners and everybody all under one place, think about those early days and how far it's come.
For sure. You pinch yourself a few times and you're kind of surprised, and then you also take it for granted very fast.
Yeah.
And you're always thinking ahead and you're like, how can I make this better? How can I keep pushing? It gets harder. But I think we were obviously very good at executing right timing, right product, right market, but a lot of luck as well. And we're fortunate to be here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome. So we got to talk a little bit off camera and about how you've lived in multiple other countries and, you know, have traveled and obviously gone to school now, you know, obviously living out by the mothership in California. As you travel around, obviously living in those, understanding the need for security, and then now this is your full-time gig. How has that traveling around the world, prepared you for looking into this type of role?
I think it just made me more resilient to just the spectrum of possibilities and the different people that I need to talk to, the different skill sets I need to come up with. And every country is very different and views security different ways. And I've been in countries where security is absolutely paramount. And I've been in countries where they actually, you know, have the luxury of maybe not needing it as much or thinking more about the privacy of aspects and the accountability to that. And so it's interesting to see each country take it differently. Now that I'm kind of in the security space and have been for a little while, the first thing I look up every place I go is like, where are the cameras at?
Yeah.
Where are the...
That's you know, part like of the... That's how you know you work in the industry, right?
Absolutely.
You walk into a building and look up, right?
And now going back to those countries and you start seeing verkata everywhere. We call it verkata in the wild.
Right.
It's pretty exciting to see, like, you know, you're going to a country that you think we shouldn't have sold yet to, and you see it, and you're like, that's pretty cool.
You land in the airport or you show up to the hotel or resort and it's your cameras, and like, that's gotta be pretty amazing to see.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's absolutely, you know, especially when you didn't know that organization was using verkata yet, because we're now bigger than I can actually fathom,
right?
And so to be like, oh wow, they use us? That's kind of interesting. That's great.
And that was really where I was headed with that, is like, what's that like, and how are you even keeping tabs on it? Because like every day there's a new organization, a new district, a new city, a new federal agency, a new whatever that is using verkata.
Yep.
And obviously in your role, you're trying to get the word out. You're trying to put together case studies. You're planning hundreds and hundreds of events. Like how do you keep track of that?
I'd like to say we're good at it, but not always.
Right.
You know, I think there's different mechanisms that we put in place to kind of understand, like, you know, obviously we have a very strong CRM system. We believe in software and everything and building the processes to be able to understand it. But to a certain extent, you learn new things every day within verkata itself. And like, in fact, one of the things we're working on is like building a customer speaking like panel. And you would think a company our size should have had that figured out by now.
Right.
But we don't.
Right.
And so we're like now working on getting, you know, the AEs and partners to potentially provide speakers that we should have in verkata one, for example.
Right.
And there's also some form of protectiveness of the AE or the partner who wants to talk to the customer and own that relationship. So marketers don't just get to go in there, but we want to build one where that is well understood.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in general, like, you know, their processes are being built. We move so fast that I think as new people come to verkata, they realize that's kind of like, it's surprising you guys haven't figured that one out.
And
it's really just because we were so focused elsewhere. So still learning, but whenever I meet a new customer, I get excited and I want to spend a lot of time with them kind of figuring out why they chose verkata. What was the catalyst? What isn't great?
Right.
Which is also really important.
Yeah.
And that feeds the loop into the research that we then need to multiple areas from product all the way down to, what other customers can utilize from
right.
So there is a loop in product marketing and product that's doing a lot of that stuff. We have a customer marketer, but surprisingly, some processes still need to be built.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that that's, you know, personally, one of the secrets of success of verkata, I feel, is that that ability to respond, that's still the openness of what can we do better? How can we solve problems for you? And then actually putting the resources behind it to implement change, you know, every quarter, every, you know, multiple times a year, you log into command and you have new features and functionality that you didn't even necessarily sometimes know were coming. And those can be like amazing surprises. And, you know, even the pricing model where some of these features, like everything's included in your license, right?
Yeah.
Which is so different than the rest of the industry.
Yeah.
Who wants to charge for each one of these individual features and functionality. Like everything's turned on. It's ready to go out of the box.
That's right.
You don't have to pay extra for the licensing or the integrating even to other systems,
for
right?
For sure.
And I think that that's the ability to do that. It's something that we talk about in the industry quite a bit amongst other people is kind of the Me Too features, right? So I've been fortunate enough to be on the front side of a lot of technical revolutions in the industry where, you know, the architecture, the system design, the ideologies change, and there's big technology shifts. And inevitably, there are companies, usually a company, that really gets out in front and they just become the leader. And we have established over the years really strong relationships with those companies, and we've been able to put up a lot of wins. And Ultimately, you know, that's one of the things that we saw with Verkada. It's like, you know, this is the leader who is doing things differently. There is absolutely a technology shift going on across the entire industry. And really, who do you want to partner with, right? 100%. And who do you want to represent? Is the company that's constantly chasing the Me Too or the one that's actually innovating and building from the ground up?
Absolutely. I think, you know, you mentioned a few things there, like the software mindset that we've always had, and it's always been true to who we are. The software first, cloud first mindset that we employ allows us to update a lot of things all the time.
Right.
And inherently, it's kind of like just getting better and better over time. And we actually get sometimes complaints that we release stuff without talking about it. Mm-hmm. So there's also downsides to that. We need to be better at kind of showcasing what we just released.
Right.
So that's always been there. And yeah, I think there's a certain mindset that I find is true for every company I've ever worked for, and it's true at Verkada. And, you know, there's features you have to build because they're required for certain use cases. Hopefully ones that are horizontal, meaning they help multiple industries at the same time and have the biggest impact. But if you just resort to doing that, you'll always be behind.
Yeah.
And so it's really important to constantly think of like, what's the next big thing that the industry needs so that you have actually, first of all, value to the customer that they didn't even know they needed,
sure.
Which is super important, but also kind of keeps your competitors on their feet of like, whoa,
yeah.
I didn't see that one coming.
Right.
And now they're chasing you instead of you actually having to chase them.
Correct.
And that's something that Verkada is going to keep doing. As long as we have the leaders we do today, it's definitely in our DNA to constantly think like, where next?
Well, and I think, you know, that software first approach, you know, actually solving the problem of a single pane of glass type instance, you know, really leverages that ability to make something different, because historically, all of the physical security systems were siloed into separate software, right. Separate packages, may have been hidden behind a firewall. And it didn't allow the adoption or use of video and access in everyday business. And I think one of the things that we've realized is by checking activity logs and just by actually making it available, doing the training, we now have marketing people who are logging into command every single day. We have operations people, we have facilities people, we have, you know, team leads, district managers, owners of organizations, all who never looked at video before, are, you know, looking at the temperature of coolers or humidors, or they're looking at occupancy trends to see how their marketing campaigns worked or what's going on at this store versus that store.
Absolutely.
So it's not just security. And we've also seen where now some budgets are freeing up, additional money is coming in from other departments other than security, because
Absolutely.
They want to see the cameras, or they want that sensor because now it's become part of their business process.
Yeah, the operational efficiencies of things, right? It's definitely becoming more paramount. You know, we never really relied at Verkada on that happening,
right.
To be honest with you. Like, I think we looked at the total addressable market as a security total addressable market.
Sure.
But I think it's an amazing situation where you're able to kind of pull this additional budget that actually might have not been in security and actually growing in the security market because it solves for this.
Right.
And user experience has to be at the forefront of it to make it approachable to all these other types of, you know, teams, essentially, to be able to use it at their fingertips. And they are.
Yeah.
And that's something I hear from every customer. That's what excites me, is like hearing a new story.
Right.
And every story I hear is surprisingly different now. And it's really great. And the disparate solutions coming together to provide a cohesive story, so important.
So one thing that I feel, and I know it's kind of hard to market because it's also kind of boring, but it's also probably the most powerful feature that I don't think enough people know about Verkada, is Helix and the API documentation and what you can do with it. So for me, it's like a dream. Because you have actually published documentation, right? So I can actually do something with it. But then the step that you guys took to where I can generate an API key out of command, plug it into the API website,
get a response
yeah. on my data from whatever that command org is in whatever flavor language that I want to see it
sure.
in, just makes that adoption that much easier, faster, quicker on that whole piece. And I don't think that you guys get enough credit for that, because that's where the rubber can really meet the road and where you really
Absolutely.
Start building an unbelievable ROI. It's like, what business process, what data do you have, and how can I marry that to this other information and present a really powerful picture?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think, we've built the integrated platform, and we believe that now, you know, besides building pre-built integrations that are inherently easy to implement, like, the whole point is now to be able to have it easily integrate into other core business systems and provide other APIs to help the business do what it needs to do. And we're starting to hear more and more use cases now, but it was slower than you would think. Mm-hmm. But it's exciting when I hear one. And you mentioned situations that you guys had to implement, from Occupancy Trends, which we actually released later ourselves. There are a few companies that come to mind that have solved point of sale related integrations for fraud of credit cards and chargebacks that they could actually cancel. There's been one with quality assurance QAing of thinking of a multi-manufacturing process, and for whatever reason the product at the end has some type of situation, some issue, some defect. And it gets sent back, and they know exactly which step it's actually occurring because they have the video feeds after each step, and they can kind of trigger, type in the ID of the product of where it came from, and they know exactly where it is. And they can even use incident management to ensure that moving forward, that product doesn't get released with defects. So they review it every time. I can kind of list a few other situations that are pretty cool, but in general, Helix is like an interesting tool. We're kind of waiting for a lot of companies to use it.
Yeah.
And I think we need to do better at getting the right people there, because it does require a developer sometimes. And so that's like the extra step of getting that education for the developer to be able to do stuff.
But there's a lot of people who, and let's be fair, like, you guys had taken an unfair beating by media before about closed systems and things like that.
Yeah.
And Helix is the exact opposite
for sure.
of that, right?
For
like,
sure.
I mean, literally, from any API interface I've seen, arguably some of the best documentation ever.
Thank you.
Where they've exposed the entire system from a data standpoint of being able to use things and report on it or trigger or, use any or inject information and build things to truly make the product deliver, solutions to complex problems.
And that's where you guys come in as well, right? Like, as a partner, like, you guys can provide a lot of service value there as well, especially you guys have developers here.
Sure.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
So you guys can provide it. But we did get a lot of heat on it as being a closed system, at least that's sort of the phrase.
Right.
We like to be called the integrated system rather than a closed or open system, because we believe some control of end-to-end user experience is really important to provide you like the best outcome. Mm-hmm. But we do want to make sure we're easily integratable into core systems and provide you out of the box value immediately that you could then take it wherever you needed it.
And there's so many things that people don't realize when you don't have an end-to-end solution. So I'm very familiar in selling end-to-end solutions where, essentially manufacturer makes the hardware and the software.
Yep.
And there's a very, very compelling reason, especially this day and age with cybersecurity, on keeping firmware updates updated.
For sure.
I like to pick on a lot of the other, industry systems because you could go into them and go to their on-prem system and ask them what version are they on, take them to the website and show what the current release version is.
Sure.
Then dig into the cameras, and the firmware is the same firmware from years ago and has never been updated. And so we've had major corporations who were ultimately hacked, and they were penetrated through their cameras.
Yeah.
And they would have been safe if they had applied the updates, but there's no meaningful way to do that. In some cases, you have to physically disconnect the camera from the network, update firmware, then reconnect it.
And it's a long process sometimes too. It's like it could be a week.
Yeah. To and like it, and do organizations it. Don't yeah. pay to no. do that. So their systems are inherently less secure than an end-to-end solution that's automatically doing those updates yes. and pushing correct firmware to cameras and things like that.
And actually, once you know there is an update, there's actually a higher risk mm-hmm. of there being a hack, because the update essentially is telling the hackers like
what was fixed.
What was fixed?
What doors were closed?
So you kind of like right. you need to patch it up real fast. And that's, you know, Verkada obviously immediately that ability to firmware update real quick is paramount.
So right? while we're on the topic, and yeah. I know this is the cybersecurity side of that, you know, I've filled obviously a lot of calls over the years, and everybody in here and be like, oh, is the product secure? What does this happen? All this kind of stuff. A lot of things people don't understand. You don't ever expose actual username and passwords to cameras. Like, it's direct command to the device.
Yep.
And you have to get through that. You can enforce all kinds of security. So these could be passcodes. These could be security phrases. This could be two-factor authentication through yep. text, an authenticator app.
Which we're hoping a lot of people use yeah. and enforce. Yeah,
and
sure.
really, you were very good at prompting it. And yeah. you can even set a timeout where you force the organizations yep. to do it. Obviously, that's a best practice here. We have customers. We enforce that, recommend that they do that out of the gate. But then even trying to utilize those same techniques used by other camera manufacturers yep. by using the camera, you guys have eliminated that capability altogether because it's not even exposed. It's
That's right.
even it's not even a possible way to connect to the camera.
For sure. And in general, like, listen, once you're in the cloud, nothing's 100% secure, and I think people need to understand that. But unless you're keeping your NVR air-capped on a completely different network, you know, I think Verkada does a really good job at mitigating as many of those user gaps. Mm-hmm. Like and trying to provide a stack that is, you know, proactive on a lot of those things.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, from the encryption to the SAML SSO yeah. integrations to making sure, you need two-factor to get in, audit logging that are extensive to provide yeah. you visibility into everything if something were to go down. By the way, to force log out people if we need to,
yes.
right? So...
In addition to that, like, yeah. you know, I like the other side of this too, is that even controlling Verkada's ability to see inside of somebody's command instance, right? You've created a very novel way to do that, which is a support token that has to be shared.
Sure.
And then you control what it is that Verkada can see or do.
That's right.
And in addition to that, that's all tracked in the audit logs as well. So,
yep.
You know, there's
just
there's,
visibility wise, yeah. right? Like providing them full visibility on what we're looking at.
Well, and control.
And where,
right?
where
like if
we
you don't
look,
want somebody in your yeah. system, they're
yeah.
not in it.
They're not in it, yeah. Right.
So
yeah.
I think that's really important to bring up.
And by the way, like we want to do more of that, like with, you know, customer managed encryption keys, for example. That's another example of things where you have control and so forth. Like, I think we want to pass, we truly believe the customer owns the data. We want to pass that to them.
Love it. So let's hit a couple of headlines that
sure.
are out now. So Verkada has moved to FedRAMP in progress.
Yes.
You know, so now what's the next milestones and what really matters in that public sector space? Like, what are you expecting to see from this?
Well, we've been kind of waiting for that one for a while.
Right.
We needed, a sponsor to get there, and we have two, which is super exciting. And the next step is fully authorized. Generally 12 months wait. But I think it already allows us, you know, to work with a bunch of federal agencies in less sensitive areas. And you know, we're basically working on what else we need to get into the in-process authorization steps as well, because it's gonna, while it relates to several product lines, we're gonna have to do more. And we're ramping pretty much. I mean, you heard me on a conversation today. Like, we're thinking of like, how do we go to market now? Obviously, we have sales reps doing it, but the rest of the company still needs sure. to almost be split away to like focus
right.
on this. And it's a big market. It's about, I think, 20 something percent of the total addressable market. And we're super interested because I think that space hasn't really seen this innovation yet.
I would agree. And even the stuff that they do have, they've got it so locked down behind things that it's not really usable. So this also, the FedRAMP product is also going to be on like AWS's government cloud too.
That's right.
So GovCloud. It meets all the standards
that are needed there, multi-site and so forth. So I think we've kind of checked all the boxes now and we're just waiting.
That's awesome.
Which is fun and still like, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done between now and then.
Right.
But I'm excited. You know, I'm looking for a federal marketer now to kind of like build that section up. And I think it's, you know, I'm interested to see how they're going to use it, to be honest with you. Like I'm just waiting for feedback at this point. But the sales team is looking very deeply into it. And obviously the product team has the different compliances kind of checked there for a while. So I think we're ready.